Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Coming to you from our house to your house.
Yes.
Yeah.
Church at home.
Church at home. We do have our slippers on, if you're wondering. But this is a new experience for us, and we're excited about it. We hope you all are at home safe and have an opportunity to watch this this live stream. Anything you want to say to them?
No, just get comfortable.
Yeah.
And relax and learn something about yourself today.
Yep. So we're going to start off by letting Pam read the Daily Word.
The Daily Word for today, March 29th, is inner peace. I know we all are looking for that. I find the peace of God in the silence within me. The Hebrew scriptures tell the story of the word of the Lord commanding the prophet Elijah to stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. As he waits, Elijah fails to find God as he endures a wind strong enough to split mountains, an earthquake, and then a fire. Then Elijah discovers God in a sound of sheer silence. Sometimes chaos surrounds me as I try to find the peace of God. Other times the chaos may be inside me. I persist in my efforts as I confront inner storms, fires, and earthquakes as I search for peace. Like Elijah, I remain steadfast in faith, undisturbed by what is happening around me. I wait for distractions to pass. Peace is mine. And the scripture is 1 Kings 19:12. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence.
Thank you, hon. All right, so this is always interesting doing a presentation where you have no audience. I read a lot of articles on the internet and also listened to other ministers talk about the same thing, you know, talking to a room where there's nobody there. I did see one of my favorite TV ministers, Joseph Prince. He has a fairly large space, and he had people there, but they were all sitting like, you know, say 7 or 8 feet apart. And he just had a handful of them, I guess, to give him some feedback when he's doing his talk. But anyway, you know, this is a really interesting time that we're in right now. And as you hear on the news, you know, all of the powers to be are saying it's a time that we didn't even know how to prepare for. So, you know, we're scrambling, trying to figure out how do we, you know, deal with something that there's no precedence for. Yes, there are precedents in terms of, you know, plagues, you know, way back in the past, but, you know, I think with the new medical technology, we thought we'd be prepared for anything, but not for this. And, you know, one of the things that Prince said in his talk this morning, I thought was fascinating, is that God has the power to compress time and space. And what he was talking about, he used the example of Jesus, you know, at the wedding of Cana when they ran out of wine and he turned water into wine, and he talked about how long it takes to make wine under normal conditions. It could take, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years, depending on the quality of the wine. But he said, you know, working with God, Jesus was able to compress time and cause water to become wine right away. And it's sort of that same concept with trying to find a cure for what is happening right now. You know, with spirit, working with spirit, we can compress time, even if it's a compressing time within our own consciousness. So what we're going to talk about today is, you know, there's not much we can do about what is happening out there, but there is a lot that we can do with what is happening in here. So we're going to talk about how do we prepare ourselves spiritually to deal with this. And as I've said before, we have been preparing ourselves spiritually for how to deal with this, but let's look at some more possibilities that we can, you know, look at in terms of how do I get myself into a state where I do not let the outside chaos become my internal chaos. And with that in mind, you know, for those of you who've been reading the fasting and feasting, and also being in part of April's class on Wednesdays. In that book on Friday, March 27th, the reading was, or the title was, I Fast from Chaos. And that's basically the main process for us as metaphysical Christians, is the idea of learning how to fast from chaos. And the denial statement that went along with that was, I give no power or importance to any chaos in my life. I give no power or importance to any chaos in my life. And that's where we want to be. You know, we don't want to give this thing that's happening outside any power over us inside. And then the Saturday's reading in that fasting and feasting was titled, I Feast on Order. So the first one is, I fast from chaos. And the other one is, I feast on order. And the affirmation for that is, I claim and demand order now in my mind, body, life, and affairs. I claim and demand order now in my mind, body, life, and affairs. Of course, if you were all here, I'd ask you to affirm that with me, but you can still affirm it with me. I claim and demand order now in my mind, body, life, and affairs. And so, you know, the many changes that have and are occurring in our lives right now can understandably make us feel a sense of disorder in our lives. But referring to the first sentence that's in that article, the one that's titled, I Feast on Order, it explains, our only safety lies in the realization of our divine identity. Our only safety lies in the realization of our divine identity and the inherent potential of the divine ideas we're using to manifest perfect health, perfect harmony, and perfect peace in our lives. So let me just say it again. So our only safety lies in the realization of our divine identity. So instead of identifying ourselves with the chaos, we want to identify ourselves with the spirit within us. And the inherent potential of the divine ideas we're using to manifest perfect health, perfect harmony, and perfect peace in our lives. So we've been using these affirmations and whatnot to create this peace in our lives. And this, you know, this is our spiritual arsenal for dealing with the chaos that we may be seeing outside of us. It's recorded in 1 Corinthians 14:40 that Paul said, let all things be done decently and in order. Let all things be done decently and in order. And quite often, you know, when we're faced with the many challenges like we have right now, the question we ask ourselves is, what is the right order? Because the order that we have been dealing with doesn't stand anymore. And so we have to create sort of a new order for ourselves. And we question, you know, what should come first. And of course, we always say put God first. But sometimes the idea of put God first just doesn't cut it when the situations in our lives are so different from what we have been used to dealing with. So for this reason, there's sort of an unwritten rule that says, when you embark upon the spiritual journey, you must be prepared to hear and experiment with ideas that may shake the very foundation of your present reality. Now, we know that what is happening in the world with this pandemic has shaken the external foundation that we had, the external reality we had. You just can't jump up and run to the store, run to the movies, run to a restaurant, go to see your friends. Just think about the fact Easter's coming up. Nobody's going to go out and buy Easter bonnets and all that kind of, you know, those kind of things. It's just everything is different. So we've been given, you know, the present reality we have has been totally shaken. And these ideas go completely against what we believe to be true for ourselves or even possible. So you get these spiritual principles and you go, yeah, but well, what's going on? How do I apply those principles? And that's sort of the basis of what we study here as practical Christians, is how do I practice these ideas in a way that'll keep me in faith, peace, and love and harmony within myself. So you may feel as if, you know, and again, even saying that, you may feel as if the psychological, emotional crutch that you used to use or rely on has been taken away. And you may feel wobbly with nothing to support the usual system of rationale that you've used to explain disorder or chaos in your life. Because we all have these things we go to and say, well, it's because, you know, it's because of this, because of that. you know, and but we have a sort of a rationale for how we look at things and how we, you know, define how we're going to approach them. But this is all new for us, you know. And so the spiritual principles we study present criteria that can be difficult to accept and even more difficult to implement when the order that we've been used to or the reality that we've been used to has been completely changed. And so, you know, there's order, you know, trying to get order where there's disorder is a real challenge, and it's probably the reason for this idea that, you know, we talk about God comforts the disturbed and disturbs the comfortable. Well, we're all globally being disturbed, so there must have been something going on globally that we all need to look at. And as Wendy Craig Purcell was talking about in her service on the, March the 15th, she said, this really helps us to understand our oneness, that we are truly one. Because it's not where we can say, oh, it's just happening over there. It's happening everywhere. It's happening in our neighborhoods. And so it creates a oneness idea. And there's something about that that's saying, as a human race, we need to take a new look at ourselves and how we're showing up in the world. And so, you know, once you have, the thing here about this God, you know, comforts the disturbed and disturbs the comfortable, it means that once you are psychologically, if you're psychologically and emotionally distraught and the Holy Spirit comes and brings you a sense of comfort, you know, it causes us to sort of like settle down. But once you've been at peace for a while, once you've been comfortable for a while, if you're not making any strides to expand your consciousness so you will not fall back into the same emotional state, it seems that the same divine presence that brought you peace will rock your world a little bit if you're not moving and growing and expanding in consciousness so that you will not fall back into the place that you were. So the Holy Spirit will not allow you to remain content where you are, will not allow us to remain content where we are. And from a spiritual perspective, the old order must pass away for the new order to come into place. And I think that that's what's happening in the world today, is the old order is being forced out and a new order is going to be ushered in. So the power that we're studying in this lesson is a central ingredient in the spiritual journey and spiritual awakening, that being to become aware of the power of divine order to help us make some sense of what appears to be disorder that's occurring in our lives right now. And the power of order, the disciple who represents the power of order in Scripture is James, the son of Alphaeus, not to be confused with James, the son of Zebedee, the brother of the Apostle John, and also James, the son of Mary, the brother of Jesus. Today we're talking about James, the son of Alphaeus. Now, there's nothing in the Bible that tells us much about James. You go and you see his name, but then there's no explanation in terms of what he did and or how he showed up in the Bible. So it's assumed by Bible scholars that he must have just been a faithful servant of Jesus who did what he was supposed to do, served the way he was supposed to serve in the background without the need for recognition. And there's, you know, and the key when I thought about that, there are many of you in the center who are just like that. You come and you serve in the background. You do the things that help Unity Center of Light to become, you know, and continue to be the wonderful place that it is. And you just keep doing it without much recognition. You serve without the need for recognition. And you have taken a job on what we call sacred service. And you become, and you do that because this is your spiritual home. And this is where you want to be and where you want to serve. And we truly appreciate all that you do in that vein. So this also reminds me of a line I read in a book called Empires of the Mind by Dennis Waitley. It says, you must accept responsibilities for your actions, but not the credit for your achievements. You must accept responsibility for your actions, but not the credit for your achievements. Now it's about learning how to be humble. And to be humble is to be free of arrogance and false pride. It is what Jesus meant when he said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, so they shall inherit the earth. You know, a lot of times you hear it and you go, oh, the meek, they're the ones that get walked all over. But that's not what that's talking about. You know, the clearer way of stating it might be, blessed are those who humbly serve just for the love of serving. Right. And, you know, again, I say that that includes many of you who serve here because you serve because you love this place. And that's a wonderful place to be in your own heart and mind. And it's being, you know, it's sort of like being in the Lord make me an instrument state of mind through which God can do a perfect work through you. So when you find yourself serving for the sake of serving, you have moved into this Lord make me an instrument state of mind. And that's a real powerful place to be. That's, we're going to talk more about that idea through this lesson. But you want to understand how to be the instrument through which God works, through which the invisible is always seeking to become visible. The unmanifest is seeking to become manifest through you. All right. Remember, God can only do for you. And if you were out there, you would have repeated for me what you, we allowed God to do through us. So to reach that place in your heart and mind where you have become an instrument, continuously aware of the work God is guiding you to do, is a step up from Maslow's hierarchy of needs into what I'm calling the consciousness of transcendence. Okay, so Maslow's hierarchy of needs is talking about, you know, we have the need of the physiological needs, of course, you know, which, you know, we need those. We have the need for safety. We have the need for love and belongingness. We have the need for self-esteem. And then we have the need for self-actualization. Okay, but when you are really working with spiritual ideas, you'll find yourself evolving beyond those needs of the intellect into a whole different realm of being. And that's what I'm calling this consciousness of transcendence. It is a step beyond believing I, myself, have accomplished this to an awareness that the Father within me is accomplishing all things through me. Okay? And again, yes, we need self-actualization. We need to go through those Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Okay? I'm not negating the fact that that's where we need to evolve to. But when you get to the place of self-actualization, the next step is to let go. Because if self-actualization, you're still believing that I am doing this, okay? And if you, you know, if you remain at that level too long, self-actualization, your ego begins to get puffed up and believing it is I who am doing this, okay? Whereas in the consciousness of transcendence, your ego spiritually evolves to a point where it comes to understand it is not I, but the Father who does a perfect work through me. And Jesus explained this when he said, he explained it as the Son of Man must be lifted up to the Son of God. So the Son of Man is us reaching that level of self-actualization, but we're still in that, in a consciousness that knows nothing about or doesn't really understand the dynamic of becoming the Son of God. So if you heard me say 1,000 times before, it's John the Baptist who reached the highest pinnacle that a human being could reach. But Jesus said of him, he who is greatest on the kingdom of the earth is still less than he who is least in the kingdom of heaven. So yes, the intellect gets us to a certain level. And that's what I was talking about, I think the last time I spoke, where I said, you know, we have a physical birth. That's a birth that we don't really remember. We have intellectual birth, and a lot of our intellectual growing, we don't really remember deciding to grow intellectually in certain ways. You know, so a lot of those things happen unconsciously, but spiritual birth is something you have to choose. You have to choose to want to grow spiritually. And so that's what we're looking at here. So the consciousness of transcendence is where you and I come to understand and affirm, I am not the creator. All the things I'm doing, I am not the creator. Rather, I'm the instrument through which the creator creates. I am the divine assistant, working willingly and diligently with the creator to do a wonderful work. And what I create does not belong to me because it did not come from me. Okay, rather it came through me. All right. And order in your life comes from putting God first. And putting God first, it's evident when you realize that you are the instrument. So you say, well, how do I put God first? It's not that you know, yes, you are in a prayerful consciousness, but putting God first is all, each time you're getting ready to do something, just listen for guidance as to how you should go about doing what you're getting ready to do. That's putting God first. It's like you take a moment. You know, you take a moment for prayer. You take a moment into a prayerful consciousness and listen for the guidance. All right. So Jesus did not for a moment believe, and we know this, that he personally was a source for the words that he spoke or the deeds that he did. And again, this is a verse you heard me say many times. It's John 5:19. Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his on his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever he does, the Son does likewise. So whatever God does, the Son does likewise. So you will hear that guidance within you. You will hear that guidance within you, giving you the guidance as to how to move or say or whatever, and whatever is happening in your life. But you've got to listen, all right? And we see God's guidance through our mind's eye, and we follow God's guidance through our willingness to be an instrument through which the Holy Spirit can create order in our lives. And again, divine order is first things first, where the first thing refers to the guidance we receive from Spirit. So divine order is first things first, where the first things is referring to the guidance we receive from Spirit. And this is how perfect order is established in our lives. It is through our willingness to work with the Holy Spirit in constant prayer first and put our inner life in order. So right now, if you spend a lot of time watching the news, that boy, that can pull you right into the outside and cause disorder in yourself. Pam and I were watching, there's a new, you know, all of you seen the old versions of War of the Worlds, where we're fighting some alien creature, and there's a new one. And we find ourselves even not wanting to watch that because it's too in line with what is happening in the world. The enemy is not came from outer space, but the quote-unquote, what we're calling an adversary is this virus, okay? And there's a war going on with that. But then one day, you know, and we would sit, we don't typically watch the news, but when you turn the TV on, the news is on, you get sucked into it. And then one day this past week, we realized that we had not watched the news later in the evening, and we had felt a whole different demeanor, energy within ourselves, feeling within ourselves, because we had not allowed ourselves to become bombarded by what was going on in the news. So you got to figure out your own way to keep your mind at peace during this time we're going through. So again, divine order is in our outer life is a reflection of divine order in our inner life. So divine order in our outer life is a reflection of divine order in our inner life. Divine guidance and divine ideas are a natural outcome of living in constant conscious relationship with the Holy Spirit, okay? So if you took my, it's a process you have to work on. So if you take this idea of, you've seen me, those who've been in a workshop with me, dream, vision, mission, goals, objectives, task. And the task are the things you have to do every day. And I'm talking about not every day, but in this situation, every moment of every day to keep your mind fixed on the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, your mind will become fixed on what is happening in the world, all right? And once your mind becomes fixed on that, that outer turmoil will become your inner turmoil. So you want to constantly be doing the work on a daily basis, moment by moment, to keep your inner self at peace and harmony so that you can then enter into the world as a peaceful individual as opposed to getting caught up in that's happening in the world today. So the other part of Dennis Waitley's statement is the idea of accepting responsibility for our actions. There was a cover story in Time magazine. You might not like this, but it was in Time magazine years ago. And it portrayed Americans or America as a land of sore losers, spoiled brats, blame fixers, and crybabies. Waitley commented that instead of constantly crying the often heard, "Why me, Lord?" try exclaiming, "Try me, Lord. Try me. I can handle it. Give me the chance and I will get the job done." All right? So why me is sort of like, you know, you're pulling back and what, but try me is that you're willing to take all the spiritual principles you've learned and step into whatever situation, armored in that spiritual idea that you know about yourself. And it seems like the tendency or the knee-jerk reaction is why me. And maybe it's because it connects us to a larger body of people who are singing the same song. You know, why me? You know, we all do it maybe because there is some comfort in it. But why me draws pity and consolation, whereas try me draws awe and wonder. Why me draws people who love to commiserate, while try me draws people who want to celebrate their willingness to follow God's lead and to forge ahead regardless of what the circumstances will, you know, might be. So, you know, commiserate, celebrate. You know, which do you resonate with? And ask yourself, which, you know, response are you more comfortable with? Why me or try me? Sympathy or awe and wonder? So it's sort of like, it's, you know, what does your inner being resonate with when you hear those two ideas? What do you feel to go to when you hear those concepts? So the try me approach works when we come to the realization that if my life, my relationships, my financial affairs, my career, my health is going to come into divine order, I am the one who, working with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is responsible for bringing my life affairs into divine order. I'm responsible for being the instrument through which I allow God to guide me in the direction that will help me to bring about that peaceful situation in my life. Now, Whately's treatment of this idea of accepting responsibility for our lives and bringing order into our lives, he made another statement which sort of rattled the very emotional foundation upon which many of us stand. He said, "The mature-minded person does not blame the conditions or circumstances in his or her life on parents, spouses, bosses, co-workers, companies, government, fate, weather, bad luck, racial or gender inequity, you know, the situations going on in the world. Doesn't blame it on any of that. The mature-minded person asks, what can I do different to make a significant change in my life and in the lives of those with whom I'm involved?" And it's interesting, you see it on the news now, the good stuff we're seeing on the news, of all the people who are stepping into this pandemic situation, who are not trained medical people, who are saying, "I'm willing to help, teach me what you need me to do to help in this situation." So as opposed to backing away from it, you see so many stories now of people who are stepping into it, you know, helping the elderly and, you know, all the things that we've been seeing, the good news we've been seeing on the internet, on the TV about this situation. So, you know, due to the fact that there is so little written about James, it's assumed again that he was willing to accept responsibility for his actions, do what he could do to spiritually impact the lives of others, but was comfortable not having to be publicly recognized for his achievements. Okay, so this is the foundation upon which Jesus taught all of his wonderful life-changing lessons. When people sought to give him credit for the deeds he had done, he refused, and he placed credit instead where it belongs. We all know this verse, Matthew 19:17. "Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. And if you are going to enter into the spiritual life, you too must keep the commandments." Now, of course, we're talking about the Ten Commandments, but another way of looking at that is, this idea of you too must keep the commandments is you must adhere to the good God lays on your heart and mind and do what you have been given to do gracefully and gratefully. Now, let me say that again. So when Jesus says you must keep the commandments, we know he's referring to the Ten Commandments, but you say, well, how do I make that work in my life? It's to understand that keeping the commandments is to adhere to the good that God lays on your heart and mind, and do what you have been given to do, and do it gracefully and gratefully. Okay? And another interpretation of this idea of keep the commandments is the orderly, and this is from the Revealing Word, it is the orderly application of spiritual principles in each area of your life. The orderly application of spiritual principles in each area of your life. Now, this is the ninth, I think, talk in this series. And so in the first eight, we covered many of the spiritual principles, you know, faith, love, wisdom, understanding, and so forth. So you might want to go back if you have not heard any of those. You can, you know, look at them on YouTube. And, you know, that again, building this arsenal of ideas of how do I keep the commandments? How do I put God first? Okay. So the order being putting God first translates into putting love first, putting compassion first, putting wisdom first, if you can understand the idea. So when you say put God first, it's not like you're sitting back waiting for God to do something. It's that in your mind, you're creating a state of consciousness. If it's faith you need, you're putting God first by creating a state of faith in your consciousness. If it's love that you need to express, you're putting God first by establishing love in your consciousness. So that's sort of the idea. And each of us must be open to discovering for ourselves a sense of what order looks like in our own personal life. So it's not like looking at somebody else, like, say, the life of Mother Teresa. You look at that and say, you know, that's wonderful, but I don't think that kind of order would work for my life, you know. So it's like you got to figure out, what does order look like for your personal life? My order may not be your order. And what works for my mind and heart may not work for your mind and heart. So there is a mechanism or a pattern of order that will work for your personal life, the way you want to show up in the world, right? But make no mistake, there is a fit and an order in the universe for you. I had a student that wrote to me just recently. I've been writing to him because he has not been doing any assignments, coming to class, anything. And he wrote me back and talked about, he said, I hate college. He said, it's a waste of my time. I hate it. And he went on to explain it has nothing to do with what he wants to do in life and blah, blah, blah. So I wrote him back and I said, I absolutely understand. And I said some other things, you know, and to inspire him to discover, discover your gift, your passion, your talent, and figure out how to bring that, what you need to do to bring that to the world. And I said to him, you know, college is not for everybody. That there are many, many successful people out there who are very, very successful who have not gone to college. I said, but you need to determine what that's going to look like for you if this is not the pattern for you, all right? And so again, he needs to figure out what his order is, what works well in his mind. So each of us must be open to discovering that for ourselves. And I said, like I said, make no mistake, there is a perfect order for the way you want to show up in life out there for you. And it's up to each one of us to pray and be open and receptive to the divine order that is our own personal fit. So I'm going to end with this. It's an affirmation, and I kind of paraphrase it. It's from 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40. I let the Holy Spirit guide me in all things in my life. I let the Holy Spirit guide me in all things in my life. In my life, my relationships, affairs, so that they will be done decently and in order. Amen. So we're going to have Pamela come up now and lead us through a meditation, and then we're going to come back up and share with you. There's many things that we are not streaming, but doing through Zoom. There's going to be a Zoom class this afternoon. We're Zooming something for the children. There's going to be Ask the Minister to Zoom tomorrow. So please, you know, wait after the meditation, and we're going to share with you what's coming up for you. Pamela?
Good morning again, Unity family. So let's begin by becoming still. And whatever that means for you, if you're sitting in a chair, feet flat on the floor, if you're on the couch, just get comfortable. And let's just allow our eyes to gently close and let go of outside distractions, fears, doubts, anything that seems to take our focus off what is happening in the outer. We'll begin by taking three deep cleansing breaths. Take a deep breath in, and know that this is God life you are breathing in, and as you exhale, feel that presence soothing your mind, soothing your soul, and soothing your body. Take another breath and slowly let it go. Now a really deep inhale. And exhale fully, releasing all negativity, all worries, doubts, and fears. As you continue your deep breathing, let us acknowledge the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, active in our lives, our affairs, and our world. As you make this acknowledgement, know that as we take the breath to a deeper level within, we feel it expanding in our being and at a deep soul level. And now we decree our oneness with this power, with this absolute power of love, as we are all made in the image and the likeness of God. The Unity Minister, Eric Butterworth, says that the key to understanding prayer is allness, or God. Prayer can only be effective when we think oneness. Prayer is to know our oneness. Be still and know that I am God. God is not absent. God is present always as a presence. So let us allow the infinite presence to do its perfect work in us, to hear us, guide us, and to direct us to that secret place of the Most High, this place of love, faith, peace, and joy, all the blessings we want expressed in our lives. So for the next few moments, as you are still, to pray and receive answers to your prayers. We are more than grateful, Holy Spirit, to receive your answers to our prayers. We thank you for answering our prayers as you always do. We go forth this day and all the days that follow in your direction and guidance, knowing there is divine order in the universe in spite of appearances. We breathe and go forth in your loving grace. And so it is. Amen. And when you're ready, please come back to this time and space with a mind renewed.
Thank you. Okay. So if we were all together, we would be doing a blessing, take up our offering and doing a blessing. So we ask that you, you know, still keep that in mind, even though we are not meeting in a building, it's still important for us to support our spiritual home. You can do that, of course, through many different sources. You can do it through PayPal. You can go to our website. In the upper right area, you'll see the donate button. Those of you who use Zelle, or there's a new app we're using right now called Tithely,
T-I-T-H-E dot L-Y.
Thank you. That you can do it through that. Or you can just mail a check to 2615 Ken Hill Drive. I'm sorry, 2614 Ken Hill Drive, Bowie, Maryland, 20715. But, you know, let's just do our blessing together. Hold your blessing either in your hand or in your mind if you're wanting to give on a regular basis through regular tithing. And let's do that blessing together.
We bless and give thanks
for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. And Amen. So it is. Amen. And just some real quick light notes. And again, you don't have to worry about trying to write all these down. April sent out a e-newsletter with all of these in there, and also Patty has sent out her weekly statement. It has all of these different Zoom links coming up. But there are many, many things happening. Today at 12, UCL Youth and Family Ministry team is offering an online sacred circle gathering for our younger kids who are not yet teens. So again, you can become part of that Zoom. And if you have not done Zoom yet, Zoom is, that's what everybody is doing now. It's like almost a personal connection without being personally there. Today at 12:30, the Eastern Region, Unity Eastern Region Youth Consultant, Janelle Renshaw and co-host Unity of Fairfax are offering a YOU and Unity Sacred Sunday online Zoom experience for our teenagers. And again, that information is in e-newsletter or the weekly thing that goes out. Also today at 1 a.m., Prosperity, 1 p.m. I'm sorry, 1 p.m., Prosperity Plus 3 group is continuing to meet via Zoom. This at this point is a closed group. Monday, tomorrow, March 30th, we are going to have Ask the Minister at 7 p.m. Again, this will be a Zoom class. If you haven't done Zoom yet, you'll see me and you'll see all the other folks who are joining in Zoom. And we will do an Ask the Minister. We're doing this really to give some community, you know, people be able to see each other, talk to each other, and have some community, you know, and also talk about how to use spiritual principles to deal with some of the challenges we may be having right now. Tuesday, March 31st, 7 p.m. is our ongoing A Course in Miracles. This is always an open group. They're doing it via a conference call, so you can join that group. Wednesday, April 1st, 7 p.m., Fasting and Feasting 2020 Discussion Group. Again, April's running that, and that'll be done via Zoom. And it is open to new participants. Okay? So, again, check your March 27th UCL e-newsletter for the Zoom links and conference call information. Okay, so I'm going to let Pamela end. She's going to read a little something for you to just, you know, help you through what we're going through now. And we will see you next week. So, Pamela.
This is from a prayer for a pandemic from Wendy Craig Purcell from Unity in San Diego. And I'm not reading the whole thing. I'm just reading the last portion of it. And it says, as fear grips our country, let us choose love. During this time when we cannot physically wrap our arms around each other, let us yet find ways to be the loving embrace of God to our neighbors. Again, as fear grips our country, let us choose love. Amen.